Track 10, A Gateway into the History of Norwich. A Norfolk Magazine subscriber, Andrew Hyde, and his wife Anna enjoy a fascinating walking tour of Norwich with city guide Paul Dixon.
"We usually rush through here," said Paul Dixon. "Instead, we need to slow down and look up." As newcomers to the county and new readers of Norfolk Magazine, having moved to the outskirts of Fakenham in March, my wife Anna and I are delighted to accept that invitation. Paul, an official City of Norwich tourist guide, led us on a two-hour introductory walk from the Forum through some of the city's principal historic sites. With nearly 40 years in Norfolk tourism, including a previous career at the National Trust, Paul brought both experience and insight to our tour. His encouragement to slow down and look more closely was a timely reminder that, wherever we go, there are layers of history waiting to be uncovered. One of the joys about being newcomers to somewhere as rich in history as Norwich is that we view it with fresh eyes, unencumbered by familiarity. That can be a disadvantage, however. Where do we look first? What will pique our own interest most? That's where the insight of an experienced guide can open new perspectives and leave us wanting to know more and explore further. From the Forum, Paul took us on a journey through Norwich's early history, including the Vikings' Northwick settlement north of the River Wensum, from which the name Norwich evolved. Having recently discovered that my mother's Norfolk ancestry has left me with 21% Scandinavian DNA, I'm happy to celebrate that Viking heritage. From there, he told us of its status as the fourth largest city in England by the time the Normans arrived, and the second largest until 1750. And if we were to ask the question, what did the Normans ever do for us? Apart, of course, from conscripting the locals into building the imposing castle that still towers over the city, one answer would be that they began the market, still here more than 950 years later, and recently named the best large outdoor market in Britain. Such snippets of information gave us new insight into Norfolk's capital, including the fact that it boasted over 650 pubs by the 1850s. 30 of these were around the marketplace alone, of which the Garnet is the last one remaining. And if I'd had to guess, I would never have thought that it was Norwich's London Street, not London itself, that gave us the first pedestrianised shopping street in the UK. On our walk through Norwich's wonderful Royal Arcade, we heeded Paul's opening invitation, slow down and look up. As we lifted our sights beyond the shop fronts, Paul explained how the arcade's combination of Victorian architecture and Art Nouveau influence was shaped by George Skipper, Norwich's best-known architect, who also bequeathed us the impressive frontage of the true Norfolk gem, the Gerald's department store. From there, we walked through the lanes, the most complete surviving medieval street layout in the country, said Paul, and learnt that if we wished to eat fish and chips in a 15th century undercroft, the Grosvenor Fish Bar is the place to go. Opposite the flint wall at the rear of the Museum of Norwich, we then stopped to look at St Andrew's Church, one of the city's 31 remaining medieval churches, before walking via Elm Hill and the Britain's Arms, one of six remaining thatched buildings which were not lost in Norwich's great fire of 1507, which destroyed a third of the city. Via the halls, we progressed to Cinema City, a case study in architectural evolution, from the 15th century to Victoria times, through to its present-day use as a cinema, bar and café. We then strolled through the Maidshead Hotel, where Paul was greeted as a familiar visitor, into Tombland, derived from the words for empty space in Danish, explained Paul. All too soon we concluded our tour in the precincts of the cathedral, worth a tour on its own, as Anna and I can testify, with its memorials to Nelson and Edith Cavell. It's difficult to pick one highlight from an introductory tour that covered so much. Perhaps what it reinforced most for me was that we inhabit the spaces built over centuries by generation upon generation, and that taking the time to explore them with an expert is enriching and inspiring. Paul's knowledge was extensive, but it was lightened and enlivened by his anecdotes, recommendations and stories. That personal touch is what brings history alive and invites our exploration. We've probably all heard it said at some time, you should get out more, words that have become a contemporary catchphrase. But it's true, isn't it? Harvard historian John Stilgo probably captured it best when he urged us to do precisely that. Get out now, not just outside, but beyond the trap of the programmed electronic age. Outside lies ordinary space, open to any casual explorer willing to find the extraordinary. Outside lies magic. For anyone willing to find the extraordinary in our city, I would unhesitatingly recommend Paul's insightful tour. In fact, it was more than just a tour. It was an entry portal, a gateway into the magic of Norwich. Find out more about Paul Dixon's tours of Norwich and beyond at pauldixontours.co.uk.